You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and it's time for our regular update with CEO Matt Stringer. Hi, Matt. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Amelia. My pleasure. Good to speak to you.
So we've had a lot happen in RNIB over the last few weeks, but this week we had the post-Paralympics event down in London. Can you tell us who was there and how it went?
Yeah, I can. It was great. Yeah, it was good to welcome back the Connect Radio team, who'd had a nice time, you know, gallivanting around Paris for 10 days or so. But no, they did a brilliant job of covering the Paralympics for us. And, you know, we're very keen in the RNIB to be really pushing the message around making sport and participating in sport and spectating and supporting accessible, because the massive physical and mental health benefits. So, you know, we've been a real supporter of visually impaired people and getting into sport and para sport full stop. You know, we were one of the sponsors of the IPSA, the Blind Games, last summer in Birmingham. So, you know, we were very involved and supportive of the Paris Paralympics, hence the Connect Radio team being out there. And I'm sure people would have picked up the coverage in the last 10 days on the channel. So Tuesday, we had an event welcoming back a number of eminent Paralympians with an audience of sort of interested people back here. And Alan Russell from Connect Radio sort of hosted a sort of panel Q&A, really sort of understanding what it was like to participate and some of the what went on the inside, if you like, about how you prepare for events and the crowd and the competition and what it felt like to be part of Paris. And part of that panel, we had three or four of the Paralympians. And then we also had David Clark, who was the CEO of the British Paralympic Association and an ex-RNIB employee, as our chief operating officer. He's done a brilliant job of steering the British Paralympic Association through Paris. And I know his thoughts now turn to LA in 2028. But I mean, I think great to have the event, but and also great to connect a lot of the Paralympians and David with his sort of management role to an interesting room full of people, you know, again, some of them in positions where they can be pushing issues around accessibility of sport, you know, and general participation of visually impaired people in sport, whether that's participating, spectating, coaching, whatever. So, you know, great to have the event on Tuesday. And I think very fitting for us as RNIB to host, you know, a sort of event like that when we'd had such a very positive Connect Radio contribution to the Paris Paralympics over the previous 2 weeks.
Yeah, we know the team had a great time celebrating with all of the Paralympians and everyone who'd been involved in covering that. And the celebrations have continued in a slightly different realm, because there was a great article released in Optometry Today with the NHS lead in eye health endorsing the RNIB pathway. Can you tell us more?
Well, we've been doing a lot on the pathway. We had an event last year, last autumn in November, we really launched the pathway, which is sort of Collaborate for Good event, which the RNIB really organised. And we work with our partners at Roche, who helped underpin it. But it really was a room full of people across the third sector, across the NHS, in the devolved nations, Royal Colleges of Ophthalmologists and Optometrists, and an Association of Optometrists, and sort of everyone you'd expect to be involved, you know, in the pathway was in the room, and that really kicked it off. And I think what's happened over the last year has just been a gradual, you know, snowballing of sort of support and, you know, active implementation. We've been doing quite a lot of the RNIB with more ECLOs going into the NHS across all of the devolved nations and England, you know, and with more and more people picking up on this and really getting behind it, politicians engaging with it in the run into the general election, because we've been really pushing at that early diagnosis, prevention, sort of end of the spectrum, you know, in a joined up way, which very much plays to the political debate at the moment about the health service. And particularly would have seen Lord Darzi's report this week about the NHS, which has talked to some of the challenges in it and some of the opportunities to try and improve it and take the stress out of it. Optometry Today, who are clearly a very important sort of publication in the world of optometry, published an article, and the headline is Louisa Wickham, who is the English lead for eye care in the health service. And the headline is Louisa Wickham backs RNIB's eye care support pathway, which is a great endorsement of the work we've done in building that coalition of people involved in pulling the pathway together. And, you know, she says the pathway represents a significant advancement in our ongoing efforts to enhance eye care services across England. So fabulous endorsement, really gets it out there again in another really important channel. And she's written to all in England, all the 43, it is sort of independent commissioning boards who are where all the activity on health happens in England, you know, to endorse this and ask them to adopt it and implement it, which will be a great boon to us getting this sort of baked in across the UK and critically, you know, improving the chances for people to have eye health conditions to get earlier service, better service, more chance of prevention and earlier treatment, which is obviously going to enhance, you know, their clinical chances and their life chances over time. So brilliant endorsement. And actually, whilst Louisa is, clear as an English responsibility, this only builds on the great work our teams have done in Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland, working with the local government, working with the civil service in Northern Ireland, because Stormont came back as a government to, get these things implemented locally. And we know across those three nations, Wales being a particular example, how this has been bedded in already through the devolved nations. So great to get that endorsement in England. And actually brilliant timing, Amelia, because next week we have the next big ticket sort of session on the pathway with a similar room full of people as last year, meeting at Aston University in Birmingham next Wednesday. Agar and IB sort of sponsored event again, or organized event with that, room full of people I mentioned before, to really now look at this and take it on to the next level. So it's great to have all this energy around this and get that endorsement from Louisa Wickham.
Yeah, absolutely. And continuing to look to the future, the party conferences are coming up. Some of them have already happened, but people will have an opportunity to get their MPs to go to RNIB stands and learn more about living with sight loss. So, which events have we still got coming up?
Yeah, no, we're present at all of them. So we've had the SNP in Scotland, which was in the last weekend. We've got the Lib Dems this weekend, then Labour, then the Tories finally. And we've got a stall, all of them, which is pretty consistent, same stall. And what we're asking MPs to come and engage with us on, we're calling it Cane Street, for obvious reasons. We're asking them to come and walk down our stand where they get a chance to experiment with a cane and some other devices which would replicate some of the challenges of visually impaired people to navigate their way through various scenarios. And I think in doing that, we're really pushing the whole rehab point, because we know that the pathway is a critical thing, as we've just said, about getting that initial eye health sort of diagnosis and support in place, so people really get the best chance early in any sort of post-diagnosis world. But clearly, if you do generate an eye health condition, the ability for the country to support you from a rehabilitation perspective is critical. And we know from work we've done on freedom of information campaigns and other activity this year how patchy it is, how the majority of sort of local councils don't provide the statutory service. And we're going to really engage the MPs on that through our stand at the next three conferences. And frankly, they're a great opportunity just to buttonhole politicians at every level. Often some of the local councils and county councillors, have a lot of authority to do things locally. And in some respects, they're a more sort of target-rich environment than some of the MPs, actually. But, at every level of the political structure in the UK, it's a great opportunity for the RNIB to get its message across. And so we're very hopeful of having a very successful sort of conference season and coming out with our agenda and that the agenda of eye health and visual impairment in general, again, much more sort of sharply focused for our political representatives.
Yes, well, we'll look forward to catching up with you on how more of those party conferences have gone. But for now, thank you very much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio, Matt Stringer.
Thanks, Amelia. My pleasure as ever.